And this morning we'll be dealing with and getting into the carnal man. If you are in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 14 tells us, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So there's the natural man given to us. Then in verse number 15, he says, "But the spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." Then we have the spiritual man given to us. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just one page over, or maybe on the other side, but 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So we have here given to us the third man, the carnal man. Not the spiritual man, but carnal man. Then turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Romans chapter 8. We want to see here in Romans chapter 8 what God has for us, this passage of Scripture, taking this thought a little bit further, looking at the carnal man. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse number 4 through verse number 9. Follow along with me there in your Bible. He says, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be," what is it? "Carnally minded is death." Now I'm going to pause there. You remember the illustration that we gave about how Adam was born, a trichotomy. God created him, a trichotomy. He had body, soul, and spirit. When he sinned, he died, right? We talked about that spiritually, he was dead. But we are given new life in Jesus Christ. We're born again, and we are made alive. That's the spiritual man. But what does he say here about the carnal man? He says, because carnally minded is death. So we are destroying that spiritual God awareness, God consciousness with carnality. He says to be, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse number 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God, but they that are after the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." We're going to look this morning at the carnal man. Let me open us up in a word of prayer. Lord, we gather this morning. We're in your house. These people are here to hear from heaven. Dear God, I pray that you would take away the distractions of the world, that you would remove from our hearts and minds the burdens that may weigh heavy on us, that you would allow us to turn our hearts and minds to the Scripture, that we would yield to you, that, Lord, you would use the power of your word through the Holy Spirit to speak to every heart this morning. I pray you'd give me liberty to speak, and that you'd bless this time together in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have thoroughly enjoyed this study on these three men. I think it may very well be because of the fact that it is fitting for all Christians. It's fitting for all men. For we have all been in these different states at different times. Maybe there's some here that are still a natural man. Maybe they're still in that state. Or we've all been, every one of us at one point were natural men. According to the biblical definition of the word, we knew not Christ. We were born spiritually dead. We were all natural. There are several types of natural men that you see in the world today. There's the atheist. He's a natural man. He of course, we know, doesn't believe in God at all. The Bible calls him a fool. The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He's the atheist. He would say, there is no God, and it doesn't matter. I mean, I was born, and when life is done, I'm just going to go back in the ground. And he just denies, regardless of all the evidence, regardless of the creation itself declaring the handiwork of God, regardless of all that, he would say no, and he chooses to deny the existence of God and says there is no God. But then there's also the careless natural man. The careless natural man. I mean, he realizes that there's got to be a God. I mean, he sees the magnificence of this world and all that there is, and he knows this didn't happen by chance or happenstance, and so he knows there's a God, but he could care less. He understands that there's a greater being there somewhere, and at times of maybe tragedy or turmoil, he acknowledges that fact, but for the most of his life, he's just consumed with living his life how he wants to live it. And he could care less about God, and he's a natural man. But there's also sincere people who are natural men. They're sincere. They are typically a good man. They may be even involved in religious practices. They maybe even go to church on a regular basis. They may read their Bible day by day. They may give to the poor, and depending upon their religion and their works, to try and get to the place called heaven. But according to the biblical definition, they're still a natural man because they've never been born again. They've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you understand that it's a relationship with God, not religion, not works, not what we do, but what Jesus Christ has already done. And even though they're sincere, they're wrong. They know there's a God, and they desire to please God. And they would want to honor God. Some of it might be ignorance. They haven't been shown the truth of the Word of God. Some of it, I believe, is the devil has blinded them. Because the devil wants to take them to the place called hell. And he would allow them to feel a measure of satisfaction in their good works. But that's not going to get them to heaven. Because to have eternal life, you have to have new life, which is given by a new birth in Jesus Christ, by trusting Him. And praise God, there are some searchers out there. There's natural men that are searching for the truth. They are looking for how they can know God. They're searching it out, and they're asking and begging, saying, God, would you send somebody? And we've all heard the stories of those who have maybe been in a tribe somewhere in the Amazon or in a city or a village in the U.S., but they're there, and they're saying, how do I know? How do I know God? And they're searching, and they'll go into a gas station, and they'll find a pamphlet, and God will show them Himself through that, or somebody will give them a track, or somebody will go by and knock on their door, and God will show them, and they'll find God because they're searching, so that they don't have to be a natural man. Hallelujah. We've been given new life in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 8 and 9, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of these. We are not in the flesh anymore. We have the Spirit of God. We have new life in Christ. I hope that you've been washed in the blood. I hope that you've been made a spiritual man. I hope that that is the case. So you have the natural man, and then you have the spiritual man, which we took some time and dealt with last week, looking at the spiritual man and being challenged to be that. I want you to know that if you've been given new life in Christ, you can't lose it. Amen. Glory to God, you can't lose it. You've been born into the family of God. I was born into the Bottrell family. If I decided as a teenager that I didn't like the Bottrell family, and I went and have my name changed, and I disowned my family, would that change what family I was born into? It would not. I am a believer in the eternal security. I believe that once God saves your soul, he said that no man would be able to pluck you out of his Father's hand, and that means no man, not even yourself. You are eternally secure. Some would say, well, why? Does that mean I could just go out and do whatever I want? I can just go sin and God is... God will chasten you. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. God will judge you, but you're still in the family of God. You say, well, what if I do something really, really, really bad? Well, then your heavenly Father is going to be really, really, really upset. But he's still your heavenly Father. Amen? You, once you're saved, you're always saved. So as we're talking this morning about a carnal man, I want you to understand, in no way am I alluding to the fact that you could lose that new life that you've been given in Jesus Christ. Once you've been given that new life, once you've been born again, you have it forever. However, you have new life, but you might be living like you're dead. You might be living like you don't have new life. And that's sad. Let me give you the characteristics of the carnal man as we open up our look at this carnal man this morning. Understand that some of the characteristics are very similar to the natural man, because we're living like we don't have life. The natural man doesn't have new life, and the spiritual man who's living carnally is living like he doesn't have it. So some of the characteristics that we find in the Word of God are very similar to living like or acting like a natural man. First of all, I want you to see that according to the text we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1, he says here, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So a carnal man is a baby. You know, this has nothing to do with how long you've been saved. This has nothing to do with how old you are in the faith. Maybe you've been going to church for 40 years. Maybe you have a real good grasp of the Word of God. But I want you to understand, when you start living carnally, you revert back. You revert back to acting like a baby. You revert back as to begin to look and act like a child, like a babe. As a Christian, we're to grow in knowledge and understanding of God. But a carnal man doesn't want to do that. You know how easily children are offended? You know how easily a child is upset? He's going to take his ball and go home. And a parent looks at him and says, grow up! At least I hope you do that. I hope you don't coddle your kids and pander to all that foolishness that's promoted today. Tell them to grow up. To get over it. You know, that's what happens. It's a pretty sure sign that you're living carnally if you find that you're continually offended. Man, there's somebody at that church is always offending me. There's always, they're doing this or they're doing that or they're doing this. I don't think it's the people at the church. I think it's the carnal Christian who's easily offended. Now, this morning, we're going to deal with meat. That's what this whole lesson this morning is. This is meat. Do you know a carnal Christian doesn't like meat? Because they're a babe in Christ. Because they don't like being told what to do. Because they don't like being told the truth. They like the milk of the Word. They like the sweet things. They like the soft things, but they don't like the real meat of the Word. This morning, I hope you enjoy it. We're going to get into some meat. We're going to look at what it is to be a carnal Christian. And listen, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got new life in your heart, I want you to understand that every one of us at different times have found ourselves in a state of carnality. Every one of us have been there, and there's times that we need to be woken up. We need to be stirred again. We need somebody to point at us and say, thou art the man, you're acting like a baby. You're getting offended easily over foolish things, and what you're saying is, I'm carnal. I can't take the meat of the Word of God. I can't handle spiritual things. The carnal man finds spiritual things boring. The carnal man finds looking at the Word of God as boring. The carnal man tries to get out of any type of spiritual training. You know, look for ways to get, I mean, you know you ought to come to church, and so you come to church because you know you're supposed to be here, but you try and find ways to get out of it. Try to find ways to get out of actually being in the church service. You know, like we have people that sit in the auditorium during Sunday school, and we have people that sit in the fellowship hall during church. Now, I don't understand that. But looking for a way to get out of the spiritual training. Now, I know sometimes it's a health thing, or sometimes you have a child who's screaming, and listen, I appreciate you taking them out of here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Christian who is carnal, who is looking for a way to escape from being under the preaching of the Word of God. And you know if that's the case. Trying to find some way to be involved in something else. You know, the carnal man avoids Christian fellowship. He doesn't really, I mean, like let's say Fifth Sunday Fellowship, we have those. And you say, man, what am I going to talk to those people about? How about the Word of God? How about church? How about what you got out of your devotions this week? You say, oh, well, I didn't read this week. Or last week. Or actually yet this year. That's a carnal Christian. And I know I'm getting on you, but I'm trying to help you. God doesn't want us to live in that state. If you find yourself avoiding spiritual contact, if you find yourself if you're more comfortable spending time with and hanging out with people in the world, you're a carnal Christian. Yes, you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, but if you know more about what's going on in the National Enquirer and what's going on with some show on television than you do about the book of Psalms or Proverbs, you're a carnal Christian. You're consumed with the things of this world instead of the things of God. This is the meat. This is meat now. Are you having fun yet? I hope so, and I want to keep it as light and as fluffy as possible, but I'm going to give you the truth. If you're consumed with this world and not with God, you're carnal. And the Bible says that that brings death. That destroys that spiritual God consciousness that God gave you when He gave you new life. You're destroying it. You're taking it and you're smashing it. You're crushing it up. You can never lose it, praise God. It's always going to be there. But what God wants you to have as a Christian is impossible because you're living like a baby. You have no spiritual discernment, no walk with God. In fact, the carnal Christian, the Bible tells us here, is at conflict with God. You have new life in Jesus Christ. But can you imagine? You've got God, your Father, and you are at conflict with Him. He says here, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This type of man is actually hostile against God. At enmity with God, against God. And we don't want to be that way. I know in your mind, you say, well, no, I'm not that way. But do you understand, when we give ourselves to carnality, we are that way. That's what the Word of God says. We actually stand in opposition to God and to God's work. A carnal man's thinking is mixed up when it comes to spiritual things. He's at conflict with God. I can't imagine living in that state. We don't want to stay in that state. We're at conflict to God. We're also contrary to the spiritual man. Contrary to the spiritual man. You see, you have they are polar opposites. The carnal man and the spiritual man. They're opposite of one another. And they actually stand in opposition to one another. You have one man who's on fire for God, who's excited about getting into God's house, who's excited about talking about his devotions, who's excited about going soul winning, who's excited about reaching the world, excited about missions conference coming. I mean, they're on fire for God. And man, look at what God's doing. And the carnal man wants to know, why do we always have to talk about church? Why does every church activity have to have some kind of spiritual lesson? I mean, why do we have to look at the Bible all the time? That's the carnal man. A spiritual man is hungry for it. They're looking for it. Hey, give us something. A spiritual man, we have a church activity, and the Bible is never cracked. Nobody ever prays. Nobody points to God. The spiritual man says, what was that activity for? I mean, if we're just going to play in the yard, I could do that at home. I mean, I came to be challenged spiritually, to have God speak to me, to be strengthened. That's what church is. That's what fellowship is. You have one who's living for eternity, whose eye is on heaven, who's looking for the soon coming of the Lord. And you have the other who's living for today. You see, they're exact opposites. You have one who's walking in the Spirit, and you have the other who's fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We looked at this in Sunday school. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. They're contrary one to the other. Do you understand that if you're not walking in the Spirit, that you are walking in the flesh? You are fulfilling the lust of the flesh? There's no middle ground. I don't see any middle ground in there. I don't see any neutral place. You're either walking in the Spirit on purpose, and you could say, listen, I'm struggling, but I'm walking in the Spirit. Or you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You're doing what feels good because it feels good. You know, in devotions last night, Andrew read, we're reading a book, I think it's to Practical Happiness is the name of it. And the guy that wrote the book, he talked about how he went scuba diving. One of his friends went scuba diving, and he talked about going down into the ocean. And he went down into the ocean. He's down, and there's a whole world under there that you just can't imagine. And he said, but what's amazing is he would see his friends, and they would try and swim and paddle around to see stuff. And all of the animals and the wildlife and stuff would go hide. And he said, so what I figured out is I just put my camera on my chest, and I just kind of laid horizontally and just didn't move. And he said, what I found is that actually the current would just carry me. And then all the wildlife, I was just part of the current, and the wildlife would come out and they would swim right around me, and they were just everywhere, just visible. But what I'm saying is that when he stopped moving, the current took him. At first it was unperceptible. He didn't even realize there was a current. But when he stopped moving, stopped fighting against the current took him. I want you to understand, Christian, when we stop on purpose walking in the Spirit, the current's going to take you. And that's fulfilling the lust of the flesh. This world's current is against God. And unless we are on purpose, walking in the Spirit, walking towards God, we in our video we watch every week as a church, we want, it's not so much as where you are, where you've been, but where you're going, what direction that you're headed. And we as a church want to help you head towards God. We want to encourage you and challenge you to fight against the current of this old world. Amen?
Amen.
And go towards God. Walk in the Spirit. The carnal man doesn't want to walk in the Spirit. They're walking in the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is no in between. Have you ever seen somebody whose child disappointed them? And the parent looked at them and said, Mills, don't act that way. Or Marambas, don't do that. I mean, they looked at him and said, listen, you're a Maramba. We don't act like that. You're a Nazarenko. Nazarenkos don't talk that way. I mean, you know, how many of you ever seen a parent do that? Or maybe you've done it. Say, no, that is unacceptable. I want you to understand, sometimes our Heavenly Father looks at us and says, hey, Christians don't do that. Christians don't act that way. That's not how my children behave. The Heavenly Father is telling us. The spiritual man has godly desires and the carnal man has fleshly ones. The carnal man is worldly. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not the Father, but of this world. It's not of God. A carnal man, it's all about this world. It's all about today. We're living for right now. We're living for satisfaction. We're living for enjoyment. We're living for pleasure. But the spiritual man's living for tomorrow. What are you living for? You say, Pastor Caleb, how do I know if I'm carnal? What are you living for? Do you enjoy spiritual things? Do you look forward to being in God's house? Do you enjoy talking about the Word of God? Or would you rather discuss anything else? I mean, we could talk about any football team, any basketball team. We could talk about any other subject, but not. That's a sign that you're carnally minded. So this is the characteristics of a carnal man. Are you carnal? You decide. Let the Holy Spirit touch your heart and say yes or no. Let me give you the consequences of a carnal man. The consequences of a carnal man we find in the Word of God. First of all, I want you to understand that as a Christian, you've been given new life in Jesus Christ. You're a child of God, and God is going to chasten you. As a carnal man, God's going to chasten you. Hebrews 12, verse number 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. He speaks to us as unto children. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise the chastening of God. God's going to come after you. Hey, that's one way that you know you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven if your Heavenly Father's coming after you because you're going the wrong way. The Holy Spirit's been convicting you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, the Lord says. The chastening of God's going to come. But not only the chastening of God, but you're also going to lose several things. And I've got to hurry. You're going to lose your testimony. To be carnally minded, you're going to end up losing your testimony. You're going to lose the time that you'll never get back to please and to do for God. You live carnally right now, and yes, down the road you can 1 John 1:9 it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Praise God, he'll forgive us. But you've lost all that time. And anything you could have done for God, anything that would have mattered for eternity during all that time you were playing around in this world, that time is gone. You also lose God's protection. Because when you're outside of God's will, you're outside of God's protection. And one of the very sad results of a carnal Christian is you lose the assurance of your salvation. Now listen, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're saved. But I want you to know that when you live carnally, you're at enmity with God. And a lot of Christians have trouble with, and they doubt their salvation, they doubt their relationship with God, not because they're not saved, but because they've been living for this world instead of living for God. They're living carnally. They doubt their salvation. If I continue on my own way, you see, they say, well, if I was really saved, then I wouldn't be living like this. Right? They say, oh man, if I was really truly a Christian, if God was really my Father, then I wouldn't continue to do these bad things. Well, I want you to understand that just because you're saved, God does not make you change. God does not change you just because you got saved. You still have the flesh. You still have your own desires. You have to decide, I'm going to change and I'm going to please God. You say, well, that's hard. I know. I know it's hard. But that's the difference. You see, you continue on your own way, and the more you continue down this way, the more you begin to think, man, I must not even be saved, because if I was saved, I wouldn't be over here. You got to decide. You make the choice. You make the choice to say, I'm going to change. And then you have the power of God to help you change, to make you a new man, but the choice is yours. And when you do that, you say, yes, I know I'm saved. Man, God has brought this great change in my life, but it's not just God doesn't just do it for you. You have to purpose in your heart to make that change. The carnal man doesn't feel the presence of God, so he doubts the salvation of God. What is the solution? The solution is one of two things. Either you're not saved and you need to get saved, or you are saved and you just need to get right with God. You need to stop going down your own way. As Christians, it's time to grow up. It's just time to start desiring the meat of the Word instead of the milk of the Word. Time to start following His commands and walking in the Spirit. So what's the cure? What's the cure for the carnal man? And I'll be done. You guys are listening real good, and I know does it feel long? Does it feel like we've been here a while?
Nope.
You're doing okay? All right, good. So we're going to give you the cure for the carnal man. Luke 15, I want you to see this. Luke chapter 15. None of you are going to say it did feel like that. The carnal man would say that, right? The carnal man would be like, yeah, we've been here forever. Let me out of here. Like, I ain't saying that today. That was kind of a dumb question. Yeah. Nobody was going to be honest with me. So the cure for the carnal man. Luke chapter 15, this is a familiar story of the prodigal son, verse number 17, Luke 15. Let's start down in verse number 17 for the sake of time. Follow with me as we read through verse number 20. I'm going to give you a few simple points. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Oh, he saw he wasn't worthy to be called his son, but he realized he was still his son. Amen? Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Let me give you several things. What is the cure? First of all, you need a realization. He said he came to himself. You need to realize where you are. If you have been living as a Christian in a state of carnality, seeking after the things of this world, you need to acknowledge it. You need to realize, whoa, what am I doing here? Come to yourself. Realize where you're at. Acknowledge that. Then you need a resolution. In verse number 18, he resolved to go to his father. He said, I will arise and go to my father. He said, I'm going to do this. Determine, make a realization, and then make a resolution that you're going to change. You're going to go to God, and then you need repentance. In verse number 19, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. He came to his father, and he acknowledged his sin. He realized what he did was wrong. He says, listen, Dad, I know you're still my dad, but I'm not even worthy to be here. I don't deserve to be in your presence. And Christian, when we come back to God, we come and say, Lord, I know I don't deserve your love. I know I don't deserve your forgiveness. I know I've failed you again, but God, would you forgive me? And God said he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just as this man was there ready and waiting, as soon as you determine you're going to turn and go towards God, God turns towards you. He's ready to receive you. You need a realization. You need a resolution. You need to repent. And in verse number 20, you need to return. And he arose and came to his father. You need to return back to where you left God. Return and start doing the things that you used to do. Get back in the Word of God. Get back in the house of God. Get back doing the things you know God wants you to do. Living as a spiritual man, as a man that has new life in Jesus Christ, instead of a carnal man who's living like he's dead. You need to return. And praise God, we're not going to read it, but verses 22 and 23, we see that he was reclothed. He was given a robe, and you and I are given a robe of righteousness imputed unto us by Jesus Christ himself. Not something we've earned, but because of God and what he has done, we are given a righteousness. And in verse number 24, we see that he rejoices. He rejoices. We can rejoice as well. When you return, I can tell you what, you'll be glad. You'll be glad. This morning, I want to remind you that God knows exactly what state you're in. God knows whether you're a natural man here this morning, you've never been born again, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He knows if you're a spiritual man and you're on fire for him and want to see God do great things. He knows if you're a spiritual man, but you're living like a dead man, you're living carnally. God knows. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 15. He was talking about the church here, but he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold. That's the natural man. Cold, unsaved, lost. Nor hot. That's the spiritual man. On fire for God. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, that's the carnal man. That's the carnal man. God knows your works. He knows whether you're cold, natural man, whether you're hot and on fire for God, or whether you're lukewarm and kind of living for this world instead of living for him. This morning, you yield to God and do what God wants you to do. Stand with me if you would, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that as we come to you in this moment of invitation, that every man here would have a realization that they would come to themselves, they would realize where they are. There are some here this morning that may be a natural man. They need to realize they're not saved. And Lord, if they don't come to you before it's eternally too late, they'll spend eternity in a place called hell. But God, you don't want them to do that. You want to give them new life. I pray that they would realize it and come to you and trust you as your Lord and Savior today. Lord, I pray that there are some here that are spiritual. God, would you keep the fire going? Would you stir them? Would make the embers hot? Keep them on fire for you. And there's some, Lord, who you know are carnally minded. They've grown cold. They're lukewarm. Lord, I pray you would bring us back to you. May we as Christians yield to you as you stir our hearts this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.